America Weekend.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time. Maybe I think too much, but something's wrong.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki. My next guest is a true music icon. His works are hallmarks in the history of rock music. His latest release, An Evening with Todd Rundgren Live at Ridgefield, is a true multimedia extravaganza. It is quite an honor to say hello to Todd Rundgren. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Ed. Glad to be here.
It is terrific to have you on. Now, as someone like me who has admired your work for decades, word of this new release is incredibly exciting. Tell us all about it.
Well, essentially, I don't do this kind of thing as a habit.
Mm-hmm.
When I have new music that I've made, and I continue to make new music, most of my shows are based around that new music, and the fans will respond to it in the way that is they usually do, which is positively or negatively, mm-hmm. but usually giving me the benefit of the doubt, which is great, a great thing about my fans. But after time, you know, it sometimes seems like I'm refusing to play the things that they want to hear. So I decided before I make the next big leap, I'm going to touch base with my fans. I'm going to do the songs that they've been in their heart of hearts yelling out, although I insist upon reminding them every show that I don't take requests. So what I tried to do was make a show that essentially was all the requests and play it in a way that they remember it instead of rearranging it into something more contemporary or different. They want to kind of go back in their minds to when they first heard them.
Sure.
You know, the girlfriend they had or the situation they're in when they first heard the song, something like that. And I'm essentially indulging that, always with the caveat, at least for my audience, that things could go off the rails at any minute in the future.
For you as an artist, because you've always evolved with the times, how difficult then is it to be able to kind of keep your fan base evolving with you? Because it, like you said, they keep wanting to go back, but you as an artist, you always want to keep going forward. That's kind of a weird dichotomy.
Well, I established that dynamic pretty early on in my career. My third solo album was the most successful commercially because it had I Saw the Light, Hello, It's Me, mm-hmm. and one or two other minor hits on it. And after I put that album out, everyone thought I was going to try and capitalize on it and continue to do the same thing. And instead, I went off on a completely different tangent.
Right.
With an album called The Wizard of True Star, in which I kind of deconstructed song structure and tried to imprint on the record all of the crazy influences that I had musically. And that kind of lopped off about half my fan base right off the bat. The people who did stay, you know, realized that this is, you know, this maybe is going to turn out to have a little bit more of an interesting storyline mm-hmm. than just my career stopping at that point and me doing the same thing over and over after that. And that comes from me being such a, like, big Beatles fan. People forget how often changed genres and how much they... You know, kind of.
Yes.
There was no such thing as classical rock until Eleanor Rigby.
Right.
You know, and
sure.
then there was no such thing as psychedelic rock until, you know, Strawberry Fields Forever. You know, and they would do these things and then they would move on. And I thought that's what a musician is supposed to do. He's supposed to continue to evolve, not only for himself, but for the benefit of the audience so that they don't become stuck in some musical backwater somewhere
yeah.
and don't realize all of the great possibilities that are out there.
It's a creative process. And I mean, if you're already, it's been there, done that, and then you're trying to move on to something else because you're trying to satisfy your own creative needs and urges as well. And like you mentioned, you're a big fan of the Beatles. You developed during an amazing time in music, mid-60s. Music was changing here. You had the British invasion. Other than the Beatles, who were some of your biggest influences?
Well, it, like you say, it was an amazing time. There was, a lot of it had to do with radio, because previous to that time, there was no such thing as syndicated radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was kind of local and also personality-based. There was, the DJs really were disc jockeys in the literal sense, in that they could decide while one record is playing what record to play next, instead of going off of some big list of records that they could only play. As radio became more successful, just as music became more successful, it became more and more structured. But I was lucky enough to grow up in an era when DJs were competing with each other for what kind of music they could dare to get on
right.
the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would, you know, a typical radio show might be like, you'd hear the Beatles, then you'd hear Bob Dylan, then you might hear, like, you know, Bill Evans or a jazz artist mm-hmm. of some kind, another folk artist. It was all sort of mixed up, and the audience was incredibly open, you know, to whatever it is that the DJ would play, and that then extended to, like, live shows. You would see shows that just had the most unlikely combination of artists.
Yeah.
So even if you came to see a particular person, you would get exposed to other kinds of music. Maybe the most unfortunate thing about music nowadays is we don't have any sort of, we don't have the same kind of liberated arbiters, you know,
sure.
who can go out and listen to all the music there is and try and pick the best of it, you know, and play it for everyone. Everything is a little bit sort of publicity driven now.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about things before you hear them. It used to be the other way around. You would hear something on the radio and say, what is that?
Exactly.
And then you try and find out about it. Now you hear about something that you haven't heard and maybe won't hear, because next day it's something else.
Right. Music has become very disposable, has it not? I mean, there's so much of it now because there's so much media that drops music now. Is that a good or a bad thing? Is there too much music at this point?
Well, I suppose the political correct answer would be there's never enough music.
So what's the real answer?
okay. Well, the real answer is you can't, like, force people to listen to music the way you want them to listen to it.
Uh-huh.
They're always going to listen to it the way they want to. And if music is simply a fashion or a lifestyle accessory to them, so be it. Maybe in one sense it always was. Maybe in one sense the audience never got down to the level that the artist wanted them to.
Always wanted to ask you this. You get to take the stage tomorrow night with three other performers, living or dead, any genre you want. Who would they be?
I'm terrified now.
Three people. Anybody you can jam with.
Well, take the stage. I mean, they'd all outperform me, wouldn't
no,
they?
No, you're Todd Rundgren.
Like,
give
a
me a
nightmare.
Break. Oh, please.
This is a nightmare scenario.
Have you had dreams like that, really? I mean, it's like, oh, my God. You know, there's got to be somebody. There's even one person. Give me that one person you would want to jam with right now.
Put it this way.
All right.
Well, put it this way. I've had those opportunities have already occurred to me. Here's what happened to me, like, a very long time ago. When I was, you know, I was mostly record producing and I was a solo artist, but
mm-hmm.
I was working for the Albert Grossman Organization and I was hanging out with all the biggest stars in the world. After all, the band was the hottest thing happening at the time and I was involved with Stage Fright. And so I got invited to a lot of events. And one of those events was Eric Clapton headlining at Madison Square Garden. And Eric Clapton was my idol.
Mm.
You know, like, before I ever wrote a song, I wanted to be a guitar player like Eric Clapton. And I thought if I couldn't, I would throw myself in the river. Mm-hmm. And things had evolved to that point where Eric Clapton, you know, he and I could actually be almost on the same level. I could have a conversation with him. And he invited me to jam with him at Madison Square Garden, which, first of all, made me poop my pants. This is the very idea
wow.
of that,
yeah.
you know. But then I went out there, and the very first thing, I broke a string. almost the first note that I hit, I broke a string, and Eric Clapton handed me his guitar.
How cool is that?
To finish my solo.
Oh, my God.
That's the coolest thing that ever happened to me on stage.
That's amazing.
And I don't imagine anything cooler ever happening to me on stage.
See, that's why I like talking to you. I mean, the dream stuff has already happened for you, which is really, really cool. That's an amazing story. I mean,
that's what I mean. It's hard to imagine something better than that.
No, there really isn't. That takes the cake. I mean, that is quite incredible. Once again, An Evening with Todd Rundgren live at Ridgefield is available on CD, vinyl, DVD, and Blu-ray. It is a true Todd Rundgren experience, and that is always a very good thing. Todd Rundgren, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova. So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised.
Maybe you play tennis, but I can still hear you.
James just yelled at me. I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute 280 degrees switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of Z-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar, other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog as a last resort. Found a good-looking set. Twice the rise, twice the pullback of a set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars, along with the longer front fork tubes, will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the old road on two wheels.